Would you quit an amazing job, your dream, a chance at fame and fortune because of potential implications for your future health and well-being? Linebacker Chris Borland of the San Francisco 49ers did this week, saying that it just wasn't worth the risk. He was referring to concussions. Several other young players have left the NFL during this offseason as well. And joining us now to talk about the implications for the league is Mark Fainaruwada. He broke the story for Outside the Lines, the investigative reporting unit for ESPN, together with his brother Steve Fainaru. Mark, thank you so much for being on The Pulse.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mark, why did Chris Borland quit?
Well, it's interesting. When you hear him talk about it, I think it's pretty simple as he describes it. It was a proactive decision that he decided that the risks of potentially ending up with some sort of long-term brain damage down the road were outweighed the possibility of his enjoyment of playing professional football. And after he did research into that, he just decided it wasn't worth it.
Now, how promising a career, in your opinion, did he have ahead of him? Or are we kind of exaggerating that potentially right now in light of his decision?
Well, I don't think anybody knows. I mean, football is obviously one of those sports where injuries happen all the time and you don't have any idea from year to year. But he had had a phenomenal rookie season. He was considered one of the top defensive rookies of the year. He played middle linebacker for the 49ers and seemed to be in on basically every tackle when he was playing. 49ers fans were wowed by his performance, as were the coaches. And people believed that Borland had a bright future ahead of him.
And he also walked away from quite a bit of money.
He did. He'd signed a $600,000-plus signing bonus, of which he'll have to give back three-fourths of that. And he had a four-year contract for $3 million that he'll have to, three-fourths of that he's not going to receive. So, football contracts in the NFL are not guaranteed. So I guess if he had not continued to play well and not succeeded, then he wouldn't have had that money. But he had signed a four-year contract worth $3 million.
Now, when you follow this in the media, when you look at social media, it almost appears as if no NFL players escape the league unscathed, that everybody will get hurt. But what's the reality there?
I don't think we really know. I mean, and I think you're right. There is some element of that. I do think players will tell you. I mean, this is an amazingly violent sport, and I don't say it as someone who's critical of it. I love the sport. My brother and colleague, co-author, I mean, we both are huge fans of the sport, and he's a 49ers season ticket holder, as a matter of fact. So, but it is a violent sport, to be sure, and I don't think players have any illusions that some elements of their body are going to be damaged by virtue of playing. What the extent of brain damage is going to be is the real open question at this point. And while there's a lot of anecdotal data around that, and then there's a body of brains that have been studied to and shown that they had this neurodegenerative disease, a high proportion of the brain studied, it's a skewed data set, everybody admits. There hasn't been a longitudinal study to look at the potential prevalence of brain damage from football. And so I don't think we know. You know, one of the leading experts in this is Anne McKee at Boston University, and at one point I remember her sort of talking about this in the context of smoking, because that argument is made frequently, well, not every NFL player is going to have this, and of course that's true. It's the same is true of smoking. Not everybody who smokes is going to get cancer. And I think the question is going to be, what is the percentage and how high does that percentage have to be for people to look differently at football?
A lot of ire and rage has been directed at the NFL, again, on social media, whether it is because of domestic violence issues or this concussion issue. But it doesn't seem to hurt the organization much. Sport is popular as ever.
No, it's true. I think, there's no question. I think people are looking at the league, some people at least, look at the league differently than they have previously. I mean, even I said, as much as I'm a fan of the sport, I certainly, having researched the concussion issue and then watched the way the league dealt with the domestic violence issue, it changes the way I view it. It hasn't stopped me from watching, but I think that there's an element of analysis that's going on, self-analysis perhaps to some degree. But I agree with you. I don't think it's changing the dynamic in that way. This is it's a hugely popular sport at all levels. One of the reasons, frankly, I think is because of the violence. I think that's one of the reasons that we enjoy it. It's not the only one. These are amazing athletes, and the NFL has done a remarkable job of marketing itself exposing itself as widely as possible.
Is there anything that could be done to better protect players, short of changing the game, which I don't want to suggest?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that you know, there's two elements to that. There's the NFL piece and then there's the youth piece. Steve and I have often said we don't really want the NFL to change. It is what it is. It's a violent collision sport. Players for 20 years, you know, the NFL sort of denied that in many ways, and that was the disservice to players. But players now know. I mean, the league has made efforts to do what it says to make itself safer by trying to fine players more for large helmet-to-helmet types of hits. But the inherent nature of the sport is running into each other. And, you know, on every play there are these so-called sub-concussive hits where they're not necessarily identified concussions, but they're a rattling of the brain that goes on. The youth level is a different animal. I think one of the discussions that continues to go on and perhaps is increasing is what point do you let your kids play? You know, there's one of the leading experts in this field of research is suggesting, you know, kids should not play until they're 14. I think most of the researchers would agree the number is arbitrary, but it's setting a line at high school. You know, so I think that's the ongoing discussion that's happening.
Could all of this ultimately change who plays football? If we're talking about, you know, whose kid is allowed to play football and who has other options and who walks away from millions of dollars, it seems like it could change ultimately who plays the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the theories that we've seen espoused over the past couple of years is this idea that there'll be a sort of class change in the way the league and in way, you know, players are represented, that perhaps you'll see players from lower incomes more dominant. I just don't think we know, though. I think it's an interesting theory. It's a speculative one. Chris Borland addressed this when we talked to him, you know, fully acknowledging that he's in a better position to retire because he comes from a middle-class family. He has a college degree, and he can go back to college, and he has a, you know, life ahead of him of whatever he wants to try and do. Whereas you're seeing players say, look, I'm taking care of not only myself but a large family that needs this money. I come from a more difficult background and needing that. And so, you know, Borland was quick to say, look, this is not a decision about money, but he acknowledged that it's perhaps an easier decision for him to make than it might be for others.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mark Fainaruwata is a commentator and investigative reporter at ESPN.